720 WGN and WGNradio.com. This is the All-Timer Show. I want to thank everybody that's tuning in and listening. Well, when I get up in the morning, I take my daily reads of the papers and I go through the internet. And sometimes I may go to different websites. And one of the websites I went to was IllinoisPolicy.org. And one of the articles that kind of caught my eye in the headline reads, "A Real Strategy for Containing Out-of-Control Violence in Chicago." Now, anybody that's been in this town knows that this city has its woes. And Paul Vallis wrote this article, and I want to get him on to talk about it because crime affects everybody in this city, right? And Paul Vallis did run for mayor. He didn't win, but he still wants to help out the city, and I want to get him on to talk about it. And he joins me right now. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, so you're the policy advisor. You're the policy advisor over at the Illinois Policy Institute. Can you tell me a little bit about the institute and what they do before we get ahead of this conversation here?
Well, you know, the institute is really kind of a think tank, and they really comment on issues. Well, most of the issues they focus on are financially related, but at the end of the day, as a public policy institute, they do research. They take on certain issues, and they're also an institute that does more than just criticize, hopefully constructively, but also offer serious recommendations. And after the election, I've been a contributor to them in the past. They asked if I would come on and work with their very capable research staff to do a series of op-eds, a series of research papers on specific issues that the city's facing, particularly three. Obviously, the first is public safety, second is schools, and the third is finances. So it's a think tank that's out there researching issues, providing important information, and offering very specific recommendations and solutions for people to think about.
Right, and when you do have these recommendations and you send them off, let's say you send them off to the mayor, do they respond to those?
Well, we publicize them, we circulate them. A number of things a number of the recommendations that I made were actually recommendations that I not only made in the last election, and actually recommendations I made four years ago when I ran the first time. But there were also a number of candidates who talked about these very same issues. So what I'm proposing is not novel. What I'm trying to do, though, is I'm trying to systematically look at the problem and to really offer the type of concrete solutions that is within the city's wheelhouse to deliver, not offer things that are going to bust a budget or offer things that are not constitutional, not offer things that are in conflict with the consent decree, but practical approaches for dealing with the violent crime issue. And let me point out that the mayor has said time and again that we've got to get at the underlying causes of violent crime in the community. Absolutely. Absolutely. We agree on that. We agree on that. The lack of quality schools, the lack of economic opportunities, the long-term disinvestments. Absolutely, we need to deal with that. And the points have been made that the police can't be the only responders in the community. Absolutely. I mean, we need to reopen the mental health centers, and we need to provide the crisis intervention supports, and we need to get the violence interveners there so the police are not the only responders. And sometimes the police shouldn't be responding. There should be other entities that should be responding in this place. But we all agree on that. But when that is said and done, and incidentally, we agree on that, so show us a plan on how that's going to be brought about. But yes, we can all agree on that. You've got to get at these underlying causes. The police can't do it alone. But there is no substitute for having a crime prevention strategy. And the bottom line is, this year alone, violent crime is up another, 39%. We led the nation in murders last year. Among the large cities, we are second only to Philadelphia in per capita murders. We have five times the number of murders that they have in New York on a per capita basis, 2.5 times the number that they have in L.A. on a per capita basis. What does that tell you? That you need to have a crime prevention strategy in addition to addressing what the mayor likes to call the long game of getting at the underlying causes of crime in the community. I don't see it coming out of City Hall. I certainly don't see it coming out of the mayor's transition team.
All right. We're talking with Paul Vallis. He's the policy advisor over at the Illinois Policy Institute. One of the things that you mentioned as one of your strategies was the CTA, because the CTA is going through a big challenging time right now in regards to crime. And the red line, I can speak for myself, that I stay a block away from the red line, but I still opt to drive to work only because of the crime and the different things that can possibly happen on the red line. And one of your solutions was just getting rid of the private security on the trains. So what do you replace that with?
Well, right now, they have $100 million. The contracts that they have for private security over, I think, an 18-month period is $100 million. And that $100 million buys you security that are unarmed, are really not trained, and really don't deter violence. Obviously, it also includes like 50 dogs. So it's like, so just visualize that. But basically, that's how they supplement the very limited number of police officers that are assigned to transit security. Well, for that $100 million, you could hire another 300 Chicago police officers. And you could build the type of transit, public transit safety unit that would be almost like, you know, it would be like a police district in its own, in its own right, and that would allow you to have Chicago police officers at the stations, cars at the stations, patrolling the stations. That would allow you to have Chicago police officers walking in tandem on the platforms, and even officers who could, in effect, both uniform and undercover ride the trains. That's what they do in New York. That's why crime on transit is so significantly less in New York on a per capita basis. So there's no reason why you can't transition to a public, a public safety strategy that really ensures that whether it's walking the platforms or providing security at the local stations, the CTA needs to become an extension of the police chief. And that's a no-brainer. That is not a funding issue. It's a funding allocation issue.
And one of the other things that you actually mentioned, too, was just increased consequences when people that do commit crimes, because you did mention about Mayor Brandon Johnson. After a violent weekend, they may touch on what happened over the weekend, or they may just fully ignore what happened over the weekend. Sometimes we may get 30, 40 shootings in a weekend. And the most part, like you said early on about the, underlying causes of crime and fixing that problem. But that doesn't fix the immediate what's happening right now, because the person that just got robbed or somebody just got carjacked, they don't care about the programs that's being implemented. They care about whether that criminal is off the street or not.
Exactly. Well, let me be clear. I have written and talked and about underlying causes and how to address the underlying causes ad nauseum. So this is not, it's not about ignoring the underlying causes, or for that matter, recognizing the fact that we need to reopen the mental health centers and we need to have social workers and violence interveners in the community that can provide a buffer between the police. But the police clearly are shorthanded. We have 1,000 vacancies that have been filled, not to mention the 614 positions that were eliminated by the mayor. We've got a detectives division that per capita is probably the smallest in the nation on a per capita basis. The police are being overworked and overwhelmed, and they don't feel supportive. So they've ceased being proactive. And I'm not talking about violating the consent decree. That's not what I'm talking about. We got a state's attorney who doesn't believe in charging people for stealing and robbing. And so we've got this phenomena here where of the violent crimes being committed in the city of Chicago, in aggregate, they're only clearing and making arrests in about 5 to 6% of the cases. In fact, in the murders over the last 5 years, they've only made arrests, or they've only cleared about 1/3 of the murders that have been committed the last 5 years and about half of those clear cases did not actually result in an arrest. They just simply dropped the investigation for one reason or another, couldn't find a witness or whatever. So the bottom line is, on any given day, close to 90% of the violent offenders, of individuals who have committed 90% of the violent offenses, are actually walking the street. They either haven't been arrested, or they're out or if they've been arrested, they haven't been charged, or if they've been arrested and charged, they're out on felony bail, because over 70% of the individuals who are arrested for felonies are actually released. Even before the elimination of bail, they were released under the Cook County Pretrial Release Program.
All right,
You have habitual offenders going out and committing more and more offenses because there's no consequence.
All right, we're talking with Paul Vallis. He's the policy advisor over at the Illinois Policy Institute. Another thing that you brought up too, and this is something you brought up in your campaign when you ran for mayor, was fixing the police shortage. And I asked a couple of aldermen this about raising the age limit of somebody who can join a police department. Because I know there was talk about possibly bringing retired officers back. Do you think it'll be a good idea, let's say somebody up to like 50, if they want to be a cop?
There are a number of things that you can do to expand the pool of retired police officers. When my son returned from Afghanistan, he was a combat veteran, and, 6'7", 225 pounds, wanted to be a Chicago police officer. Just wanted to be an officer. He couldn't even get on the list to take the exam. He ended up becoming a Chicago firefighter, and now he fights fires, in Inglewood. But now, my God, I mean, they can't recruit enough people to come in. And the reason is the police department's demoralized. And very quickly, they're demoralized because they don't feel that they're supported by the mayor's office. And it didn't just begin with Brandon Johnson. I'm talking about the past couple mayors.
Yeah.
And they're also demoralized because of the work schedule. This work schedule that has them working, 10, 12, 14, 15 days. If there's a shooting in a district, they'll automatically extend the watch by 4 hours, from 8 to 12 hours, without any prior notice. So the police are exhausted. So the first order of business is to restore morale. And hopefully with a new superintendent, with new leadership, who are smart enough to realize that they need to put the police, their officers, on a humane work schedule, and they need to be publicly supportive of their officers. Hopefully that'll slow the exodus, because they've been losing 1,000 officers a year, have been either retiring or transferring to other police departments. So you got to slow the exodus so you can fill the vacancies. But then there are things that you can do right away to begin to replenish the ranks. And you can do a number of things. Obviously, you could play with the age limit, but there's other things you could do too. For example, you could recruit right out of the Army military veterans. You could remove the obstacles to police officers who did leave the police department and want to return. You could streamline that process, like not taking away their seniority. And there's hundreds of officers who have left who are interested in returning. And then you can also do what other cities have done, and that is you can invite retired officers to return to work part-time, like as analysts in the detectives' bureaus. They don't have enough detectives, so the detectives can use analysts to help them clear cases, to help them protect witnesses. So those are things that you could do right away to slow the exodus while making it more attractive to become a police officer again, so you can run two classes at the academy, a day class and a night class, because you've got enough applicants. And then obviously removing obstacles to recruit police officers that may want to return, or officers that may want to transfer from other departments, or for that matter, retirees. All those things in combination don't cost you money. Those are things that you can do to replenish the ranks right now, so that you have enough cops to respond to 911 calls. You have enough police officers to be riding the CTA and walking the CPA platforms.
All right. Final question. Paul Vallis, he's a policy advisor for the Illinois Policy Institute. The Community Commission for Public Safety and Accountability, they submitted three names to Mayor Brandon Johnson, Angel Navalis, Sean Barnes, and Larry Snelling. Of those three, if you were mayor today, those three names that were submitted to you, if those three were given to you right now, would you approve one of those? And if so, why? If not, why?
Well, yes. Yes. Among those three names, all three, I believe, are qualified to be superintendent. There was one officer, I don't want to mention the names because I don't want to prejudice that person, but there was one officer in particular among those three names who would have been on my short list. So at the end of the day, yes, I think any of those three are capable of being superintendent. The fundamental question, though, is the mayor and the city council going to provide the superintendent with the support that superintendent needs to deal with the public safety crisis at hand, enough, filling the vacancies so that you can have 911 calls being responded to in real time, having enough detectives to complete investigations, having enough officers so that you can provide public, so that you can extend your public safety umbrella to public transportation. Getting rid of the friends and family promotion system so that officers who are promoted into the exempt ranks are being promoted based on their time and experience and record as opposed to who they know and who they don't know. So I believe that the commission has done a good job identifying three competent candidates, obviously offering candidates from within. But the question that has to be answered is, are these superintendents going to be given the resources and support that they need so that they can effectuate an effective public safety strategy? That's the question. And that should be the subject of conversation in the confirmation hearings. They should really talk about what's the strategy and are you going to get the support that you need to implement your public safety strategy.
All right, and there you have it, Paul Vallis. He's the policy advisor over at the Illinois Policy Institute. Go to illinoispolicy.org if you want to check out more of their stuff there. Mr. Vallis, thanks so much for joining me.
It's my pleasure.